Hi, I'm Sophie, and this is Age Well with Dr. Sophie Schotter, a space devoted to all things health, wellness, and longevity. Because for me, aging well is about looking and feeling like the best possible version of ourselves, inside as well as out. So together with my producer, Fee, I'll be deep diving into the latest research, sifting fact from fiction. I'll also be talking to all kinds of trusted experts, tapping into their knowledge, along with bringing you conversations from a range of interesting women and men, finding out how they age well. So, this is my show. Welcome along. And as always, thank you so much for listening.
Okay, Sophie. So, shall we start with the headlines? What do we need to know about creatine?
First, I think it's really important to say that creatine is one of the most heavily researched nutritional supplements out there. And I will say I've actually just taken mine. It's primarily by many considered a fitness supplement, particularly for building lean mass. But researchers are increasingly curious about potential benefits for longevity and also various mental health benefits. Interestingly, there's also a recent study showing it could help to ward off Alzheimer's, and we'll get into that a little bit more. But there are also a lot of myths and misunderstandings around creatine, and people do get confused.
Yeah, including me. So I guess let's go from the top. What is creatine?
It's an amino acid that the body naturally makes in the liver, the kidneys and the pancreas, and it gets stored in our muscles and also in our brain and our gut. It's basically a quick fuel source, so it helps to regenerate something called adenosine triphosphate, or ATP, which some people listening to this, if you're interested in longevity, might have heard of. It's an essential molecule that all of our cells use for energy. And creatine works as a quick backup source of this energy, and over time it helps to improve muscle strength and lean mass. The body needs it for any high-intensity exercise, so things like sprinting or lifting weights. And it can also help with sports where you need sustained energy, like tennis. But experts don't feel it's especially beneficial for prolonged slow-burn energy needs, such as the kind you'd need if you wanted to run a marathon. If you're doing resistance training, it helps muscles work harder for longer. So, for example, you can do a few more repetitions at the same weight. It's important to say that the body naturally produces its own creatine after we eat protein, but not in huge amounts. We're talking about less than a gram a day. We can increase our natural creatine by eating animal protein, red meat, fish, but we need to eat almost impossible amounts to get enough for where science says the benefits kick in. And that's where supplementation comes in. To add a little bit more science, creatine also pulls water into our muscle cells, so it increases protein synthesis. So it doesn't act as a provider of extra energy like caffeine or glucose would, but instead it increases our natural reserves. So it's very clever. Do we need to supplement with creatine? And I'd say the jury really is out on this one. I don't think it's an absolute must-have for general health. The body makes what it needs, and aside from very rare cases of creatine deficiency, you absolutely can cope without it. But if you're doing a lot of training, and certainly if you're peri or postmenopausal, there are now some very clear and evidenced health benefits.
Okay, thank you so much for that. So let's get into it. What are the benefits? And you've touched on a few of them just now.
So, as I've touched on, first of all, it increases muscle mass and strength, which, as we all know by now, is essential for women, especially as we hit perimenopause. And this is all about muscle mass helping bone density, which in turn wards off the menopausal threats of osteoporosis. It actually increases a hormone called IGF-1, which encourages muscle growth. For peri and menopausal women, supplementing with creatine while doing resistance training has been shown to improve muscle and bone loss while increasing the body's ability to form new bone mass. We're going to put loads of these studies in the show notes, by the way. Secondly, it also improves our ability to exercise. It means more energy is available, and therefore we can work out for longer and we get less or more delayed neuromuscular fatigue. Interestingly, these benefits are particularly pronounced for women. So in one study, women experienced a 15% increase in exercise performance after supplementing with creatine for 10 weeks compared to just 6% in men. And that's more than double the benefit. What's also interesting is that the European Food Safety Authority now recommends creatine supplementation for adults over the age of 55 who do strength training because it seems to offer these muscle protective properties. I do, however, want to offer the flip side to all of this, as there's no doubt that creatine, like collagen, is one of those supplements that's having a moment and is very widely hyped. But Dr. Imtiaz Desai, a Sydney-based exercise physiologist, he led a 12-week study published in March in which two groups of people began a weightlifting regimen. One group used creatine, the other didn't, and he found no meaningful difference in the results. His theory is that in the short term, creatine draws water into muscles, which can cause a couple of pounds of temporary weight gain and make muscles look more full. But many other studies disagree with this, and certainly a lot of people swear by it anecdotally. And I'll throw in one more bit of geeky data for consideration. Researchers estimate that about 20 to 30% of people are non-responders to creatine purely down to their genetics.
This is all fascinating, and particularly that last bit about being non-responders, because as you say, it is having a moment. Staying on the benefits, and I was really surprised to hear about creatine's positive impacts on mental health.
Yes, and we're learning more and more with all of these new studies coming out. First, creatine's been shown to help with depression. And again, we're going to put a whole list of studies in the show notes. But if I can name check just one, a 2021 Women's Brain Health Review found that women with a major depressive disorder who took 5 grams of creatine with their usual antidepressant responded to the antidepressant twice as fast and recovered from depression at twice the rate of women who took only their antidepressant. So that's remarkable. Researchers are now exploring whether creatine can help ease depression by supporting brain energy, memory, attention, and information processing, and whether it can promote dopamine and serotonin, two of our feel-good hormones. If you're interested in any of this, then do check out the work of Dr. David Puder. Personally, I don't think creatine is necessarily a standalone solution, but it certainly could be part of a broader approach along with talking therapy and optimizing diet, exercise, and sleep. Again, we're back to the core pillars of the podcast.
Yes.
I will also caveat this by saying that there is risk of creatine contributing to hypomania, which is a consideration if you have bipolar disorder. So as always, this podcast isn't personalised medical advice. Do you talk to your doctor to find out if it's right for you?
Yeah, but it does seem particularly positive for women.
And this is thought to be because we have naturally lower creatine stores than men, meaning we respond better to creatine supplementation and, according to some studies, could have double the improvement in exercise performance and muscle growth compared to the guys. There's also emerging evidence that it can improve PMS and various perimenopausal symptoms. For example, it's now being suggested that creatine supplementation may be an effective way to decrease the brain fog that many women experience with perimenopause. It's thought that this is due to increased creatine stores in the brain and improve mitochondrial function. This is all part of a new review published in the Journal of the International Society of Sports Nutrition, all about creatine's potential benefits for women's health specifically. And it reviewed various studies published over the last 2 decades and has explored how creatine supplementation might now benefit women across their lifespan, including during the menstrual cycle, pregnancy, and menopause. I have to say, it's great to see women's healthcare research develop in this way, because obviously we do age differently compared to men.
Yeah. And now we have new findings on creatine and Alzheimer's disease.
Yes, and this is super interesting. I'll try and break it down as simply as possible. We know that Alzheimer's may be linked to impaired brain energy metabolism, and because creatine boosts the brain's ATP, there is a theoretical mechanism of action. So this pilot study, published in May this year, investigated the effects of giving patients with a high likelihood of Alzheimer's 20 grams of creatine monohydrate daily over an 8-week period. And they wanted to see if it would increase creatine levels in the brain. This is important, as many supplements can't cross the blood barrier and reach the brain. The results showed that in 85% of patients, they had increases in brain creatine levels, on average by 11%. And they also found statistically significant improvements in overall cognitive scores, including working memory. But they didn't see an improvement in the mini mental status test, which is a standard test that doctors use to look for cognitive impairment. Plus, to caveat, it's a very small study. It wasn't placebo controlled. It wasn't blinded. So any conclusions here would need to be further substantiated with, ideally, scaled, randomized, placebo controlled clinical trials. But it's still been shown that creatine is able to help our brains regenerate ATP, which is our body's main source of energy. And so these findings are promising and certainly worth our time and attention.
Okay. So in terms of supplementing, is there a particular type that we should take?
Synthetic creatine comes in different formulations, but most experts recommend creatine monohydrate for its bioavailability, which means the body will recognize and absorb it easier. Creatine monohydrate is also the most studied one, with the strongest evidence for its health benefits. It's a grainy white powder and doesn't really taste of anything. One advantage as well is that unlike a lot of supplements, it's not hugely expensive. And you can find it now generally in powders, but also in gummies.
Oh, really? Oh, wow. Okay, that's good to know. We are going to talk brands, I think, but first of all, how and when do we take it? Because again, there's a lot of differing opinions on that.
So how you take the supplement usually determines whether or not you get on with it, because creatine doesn't dissolve in water, which can cause some people to get a bit of an upset stomach. But if you start on a low dose, splitting the dose throughout a day, you should be fine, or perhaps try buffered forms of creatine, which I can also talk about in a moment. The recommended daily allowance is 3 to 5 grams a day, and this will vary depending on your body weight, but also on your fitness levels. It's recommended that vegans and vegetarians start at the higher end of the dosage range to get the best performance results. And it's best to take the creatine mixed into liquid like juice, water, or a smoothie. And this is all, of course, if you're taking a powder. I wouldn't try so-called dry scooping, which is a trend that sees people eat it straight from the tub. And you might see this on some social channels, but it comes with a risk of choking and can create horrible stomach ache. In terms of when, I don't see it as a post or a pre-workout supplement. The aim is to saturate our body's creatine stores. So as long as you take it daily at any time, you'll be fine. You can take just one lot or split the dose across the day if you prefer. Again, some people prefer to split the dose if they're getting tummy issues. And the other thing I should add is that with many supplements, they talk about loading your creatine. So this is that for a period at the start, you take a higher dose to try and saturate your muscle mass, and then you drop back down to this lower dose. But again, I would say this is where with loading and with cycling, there's maybe not so much clear science yet as to what the right answer is.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about both of those things. But before I do, actually, as you mentioned it, what is buffered creatine?
So buffered creatine, often called crealkaline, is a form of creatine that's been chemically altered to have a higher pH. So it's alkaline rather than acidic. And this is typically achieved by adding more alkaline powder like bicarbonate. Manufacturers claim that this makes the creatine more stable in the stomach, potentially reducing side effects like bloating and cramping, and enhancing the creatine uptake in muscles. But research hasn't consistently shown that buffered creatine is more effective or safer than traditional creatine monohydrate, and there are mixed results on its ability to reduce side effects.
Okay, well, let's then talk about side effects quickly. Is it mostly tummy issues?
Not everyone gets on with it, so do listen to your body and see how it reacts. But yes, it can cause bloating or stomach pain. Generally, though, this is when people take the loading dose that I talked about, which can be even as high as 25 or 30 grams a day. Some people also find it can give them constipation, so just make sure you drink a lot of water throughout the day.
Okay, so yeah, loading. This is where I get confused. Should we be loading? What is loading?
The aim with creatine loading is to flood your muscles with creatine to promote a quicker response. So typically with loading, people take 20, 25 or 30 grams of creatine a day, split throughout the day. And the jury is out, but from everything I can see with the latest data, there's no need for a loading dose. It may mean you take longer to see the results, but loading can create more waste for the kidneys to filter and can in many people do more harm than good. There was actually a case linking it to an acute kidney injury in a 17-year-old boy. On that note, anyone with kidney issues should check with a doctor before taking creatine. So for most people, I would say no to loading.
Okay. Cycling. What about creatine cycling?
So yeah, some people stop taking creatine after 6, 7, or 8 weeks of using it. And this is when they then pause for a couple of weeks and then go back to it and repeat the cycle again. And the theory is that taking creatine for an extended period of time lessens the positive effects that it has on your body. In terms of evidence, again, the jury is out.
All right then. Should we bust some myths? Does creatine make you gain weight?
No. This has all come from old school bodybuilding methods of creatine loading, with people taking huge amounts in combination with heavy carbs. That, of course, creates a lot of water retention and bloating, and therefore people gain weight. But you're not actually gaining weight with creatine.
Okay. And let's talk again about the kidneys. I mean, that was a concern for me.
Yeah, in theory, creatine can damage the kidneys, but only if you have existing kidney issues. Again, we have a lot of research on creatine, and within this, nothing suggests it has a negative impact on kidneys, even at high doses. I would, however, add to this that just like with pre-existing mental health issues, such as bipolar disorder, if you do have any existing kidney issues, don't take it, or at the very least, consult your doctor first. Mm-hmm. And what I would say with kidneys is that our kidney function also naturally deteriorates with age, and anything that's a high load of protein can strain the kidneys in an older person, even with this natural degeneration of kidney function, and that includes collagen. So as people do become older adults, and we're definitely talking about over 70 here, people should just be a little bit careful before jumping blindly into these things.
Yeah, thank you so much for that great advice. Can it cause hair loss?
No, this idea comes from a study that showed an increase in the hormone DHT, dihydrotestosterone, which can cause hair loss. But it was a study done on men taking creatine and was only done on men with a specific gene that creates male pattern hair loss. So that study isn't applicable to all men. So it certainly isn't a concern for women and has never been observed in any other research.
Okay, thank you for clearing that up. And what about sleep? Because I'm hearing this one a lot. Can it impact sleep?
This one's a little bit more nuanced, and we have two completely opposing schools of thought. One body of research has shown that supplementing with creatine monohydrate can slightly increase brain activity, and has suggested that creatine might make the body want to sleep less, could shorten the sleep cycle and reduce the time we spend in deep sleep. But this study was done on rats, and we do know that creatine supplementation is likely to increase creatine in the brain by about 30% in rats, which is compared to about 5 to 10% in humans. So we can possibly deduce that rats are therefore more sensitive to increased creatine, but we can't extrapolate the same about humans. There are also an increasing number of studies which show that creatine can positively affect brain health and brain function, particularly the processes related to sleep deprivation. And the researchers have deduced it has the potential to improve sleep quality, continuity, and also quantity. Interestingly, the review's authors highlighted a recent study showing how creatine is especially beneficial for sleep when combined with resistance training. I'd say that the best and most obvious thing to do is to track your sleep and see how you get on.
Yeah. Okay, let's talk brands.
So this is one of those areas where it's less about brand and more about doing your checks. So you just need one ingredient, creatine monohydrate. That is it. So avoid any fillers or unnecessary ingredients on top of that. Some people prefer to take capsules for convenience, but this can be expensive and mean you have to take a lot of capsules. And there are gummies as well. So aside from checking ingredients lists, go with a price point you're comfortable with and do check reviews. Personally, I'm taking some gummies by a brand called Create, which I'm finding very easy to take, very easy to get on with. They taste a little bit powdery, but that's it. I'm also a new convert to Luco's Performance Blend, which regular listeners will know we featured one of the founders on the podcast recently, Rachel Prince. Yeah. And one thing to note for my listeners in the States, while here in the UK we regulate our dietary supplements, in the US, the Food and Drug Administration doesn't vet the accuracy of supplement contents. So it's possible for it to be contaminated or to contain less creatine than advertised. As a little tip, products with the NSF seal are more reliable as they will have been tested by a third party.
Yeah, and hello to our listeners in the States as well. Any final thoughts?
Providing you stick to the recommended dose and steer clear of blended products or products with a big list of ingredients, creatine is a worthwhile supplement to consider taking and is certainly in my stack as I do train a lot. I'd also add that creatine has quite a large teenage fan base. And in fact, a 2024 review found 26% of adolescent boys in the US said they'd taken creatine at some point. And where the US goes, the UK usually follows when it comes to health trends. But it hasn't been tested in under 18, so I really would urge caution. A University of Toronto researcher, Dr. Carl Ganson, recently studied a cohort of 912 teenagers and adults, and he found that those who used creatine, particularly young men and boys, were more likely to develop muscle dysphoria, an obsessive drive for muscularity that can lead to psychological issues. But to end on a positive note, after an analysis of several existing studies on creatine, the International Society of Sports Nutrition has said that creatine monohydrate is the most effective nutritional supplement currently available to athletes, with the intent of increasing high-intensity exercise capacity and lean body mass during training. So while it's not a supplement for everyone, and I'd always advise caution, especially around kidney health, it does seem to be doing the trick for a lot of people.
Sophie, thank you so much. I feel like all of the questions I had have been answered. Really, really interesting. Amazing. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Fee. And that ends this week's podcast. If you want to find out more about me and my work, or maybe book a consultation, head to drsophieschotter.com, and you can find me on socials at drsophieschotter. And again, thank you so much for listening.